Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's on page 956 of your pew Bible. It's a very familiar scripture to all of us, the visit of the Magi. But let's think about that perfect light that is there for all of us every day, every moment. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God.
So today, the nativities, the creches that we see are more accurate, almost. Today, the three wise men, have joined those who are celebrating the birth of the King of the Jews. I think it's important for us to look at this a little more closely because our Christian brothers and sisters in Europe see this Feast of the Epiphany as a very major day in the Christian calendar. We kind of look at it as, okay, it's the second week after Christmas. But to them, it is on a par with Christmas and Easter because it is the proclamation of the King, of Yahweh's Son, who has been recognized by the Gentiles. And their acknowledgement of that is a key part of the birth narrative of Jesus. We have some clues that are given to us in Scripture about why this maybe isn't as accurate as we think. So I want to go over a few of those with you and see what you think about this as well. We know the story of Jesus' birth. We know he was in a manger. We know that it wasn't in a house, it wasn't in an inn. We know that the shepherds were there with him. But then we move into this story, and we find these three wise men from the east who come to Herod and say very simply, "We are here to seek the King of the Jews. We heard he's been born. And we are seeking." I imagine Herod was spitting out his morning coffee as he heard these words. And instead of doing what I would probably do, which is, what? He led them on. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you know, go ahead and find them. And when you do, come back to me and let me know so I can go and worship him too. And so the wise men leave Herod and they come following the star to the place where the child and the mother are. Now notice that now it is called a house. Did you hear that? And it doesn't say the babe, it says the child. So we're getting some clues that maybe the arrival of these wise men wasn't exactly in that moment. We get another huge clue. When we go further with this story, after the wise men depart by another road, we'll get to that in a moment, that news gets back to Herod. He's absolutely inflamed by this and orders the slaughter of the innocents, which is those male children under the age of 2 in and around Bethlehem. Under the age of 2. So now we do have a time frame. This happens sometime after the birth of Jesus, but before 2 years later. Okay? In Europe, the way that they depict this is often, and some of you may have seen this, when you see the nativities displayed, you'll have Jesus, Mary, Joseph, maybe a shepherd, animal or two, and over here are the wise men. See, yeah. And the wise men, over the course of Christmas, are moving closer and closer to that. It's an important way to describe what's really happening in Scripture. The other part is, I love the way our European brothers and sisters look at the Feast of the Epiphany. If you are there, you will often, and some of you may have seen this in your travels, you will see over the lintels of homes the following symbol. And we talked about during Advent and Christmas how important symbols are. Over the door frames on the lintels, we will see a cross, 20, then CMB, 19, and another cross. Has anyone seen that over the homes? Yeah, some have seen that. It has two meanings. Let me decipher it for you. I'm going to put this on the floor. I'm sorry. The cross, of course, is for Jesus. 20 is the century. CMB, Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar, the three wise men. And oh, by the way, we think there's three according to church history, but Scripture doesn't say there's just three. Then we have 19, the year, and another cross. That's a reminder that these three wise men came to worship God in Jesus Christ, came to worship this King of the Jews, and they were welcomed. They found a place of safety where they could worship. And so that is what that indicates. Also, CMB means in Latin, and I will not bother you with my butchering of the Latin, may Christ bless this house. So this idea of the visitors coming to give thanks for this king that was born to them, this idea of Christ blessing our house, they are intertwined. They become part of one idea of what God is doing. We find that during this period, there is also a deeper understanding of what God is doing. We tend to look at the story of the Magi as a standalone event that follows Christmas. Let me give you some background. These visitors are actually a blast from the Hebrew past. The book of Daniel chronicles how Daniel and his companions spent 70 years exiled among Magi in the East. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a practice of seeking out the wisest and those who were viewed as the most informed among the civilizations that they vanquished. And he gathered them together in this group of advisors. When he captured Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, he added them to this menagerie of Magi. And as it says in Scripture, these men were not only wise, but they were stargazers, they were dreamers. And in Daniel 1, verse 20, it says, "And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom." Notice what happened. These Magi, who were Hebrews, went to the Persians and were valued for their ability to be wise and prognosticate. What's going on now at Jesus' birth? We have Magi from the East who are coming to the Hebrews and being able to speak truth to Herod and find the presence of the King of the Jews. Isn't it amazing how God works? Furthermore, 2nd century Christian theologian Tertullian found Isaiah 60 to be compelling about the significance of the visit of the Magi. It says, "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn, and all from Sheba, the east, will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." Now, to me, it's impossible to miss the parallels between this reading from Isaiah 60 and the reading from the second chapter of Matthew today. We are starting to see that there's something going on here, something deeper than just, okay, three guys from the East are showing up to bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is a whole lot deeper. And part of what we find is that in what Kim read for us this morning, in a dream, they were cautioned about returning to Herod, and so they left by another road. They ignored the directions of the king and left by another road. That had consequences. Decisions always have consequences. In this case, we need to look at what those consequences were. And we have to hold them in balance with what would have happened if they had made the other choice. By that I mean there were consequences when they took the other road, but balance that with what might happen if they had gone back to Herod. If they had gone back to Herod, what do you think might have happened? Jesus would have been killed. Without a doubt, they would have found him, and he would have been killed. But instead, in another dream, Joseph was warned to leave. And so in the following part of Scripture, which I think should be included with the readings that we had today, Jesus and the Holy Family left and fled to Egypt. They were asylum seekers. They were trying to go away from this sure and certain death. And as a result, they found a place of safety until Herod died and they knew it was okay to return to their homes. So let's say that took place, and then Herod, in his rage, we find out, orders the slaughter of the innocents. Let's balance that, though. What if the wise men had gone back to Herod? We know that Jesus would have died, but would the slaughter of the innocents have taken place? Are we starting to understand that the choices we make have consequences? And it doesn't always mean that following the promptings of the Holy Spirit is going to lead to what may appear in the moment to be a good outcome. I don't think anyone would be looking at the slaughter of the innocents and saying, that's a great outcome. But in balance, when you know that Jesus was saved for the continuation of God's work, we know that that was in fulfillment of God's plan. See that tension? And brothers and sisters, doesn't that same tension exist in our lives today as we choose which road we will follow? Think about that for a moment. Every single day, you and I make choices about which path we are going to follow in our lives, in our work, in our relationships, in every facet of our life. And if you and I are honest, more than we would admit, there are nudges that we receive. There are times when we feel that prompting of the Spirit within us. And the question is, do we have the courage to follow it? Understanding that whether we do or whether we don't, there will be consequences. One are the consequences that are in line with God's plan, regardless of what they seem to be for us. The other are the consequences that we ourselves are trying to design by the choice of our own road. This story of the Magi is huge in our theological understanding of who God is and how God moves in our lives. Because God is active in each and every one of us. These were not Jews, and yet the Spirit was active in them, prompting them to make this trip to find the child, Jesus, and then prompting them to leave, ignoring the direction of a king, by another road. And they heeded it. Do we? When God is placing that nudge upon us, do we follow it? Are we willing to change our course? Are we willing to give up our road? Are we willing, and do we have the courage to stand in the face of the threats of the mighty and powerful? To follow what God is telling us to do. That is the power of the story of the Magi. Those who were not Jews were called to participate in this great event, just like you and me. Those who were called were also prompted by the Spirit to walk in a certain way, just like you and me. The question is, will we be faithful and follow the promptings of the Spirit just like the wise men did? There's a lot at risk here. And if you think about it, in the choices we make, there are always, always consequences. So the lesson I've learned from this scripture today is that even when it looks hard, even when it's not the path that I would choose to walk, even when I doubt, I am to trust in the Spirit that guides my footsteps. And I am to say, I am being faithful in doing that. God will continue to act as God wills. Our job is to choose the road that the Spirit is showing us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.